You're in tune to KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7. Welcome to another Meet the Candidate show. Today, we'll be speaking with Mariah Ring. This is a paid for by the candidate and or by their election or re-election committee, and does not necessarily represent the views of KDWA, our staff, or our employees. Well, Mariah, thank you for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
And Mariah, let's start out with how long have you lived in Hastings and where do you live?
Yeah, so I've lived in Hastings for 18 years, but in the district for 25 total. I did live in Cottage Grove for a little while growing up, but I bussed into the Hastings School District from there. But I live right here in town, actually over by Cub Foods.
Okay. So what year did you graduate?
I graduated in 2010 from Hastings High School. I actually went to school with Zach.
Well, that's where I was headed. Zach knows you, my grandson.
We went to C's together, and then I graduated in 2010 from Hastings High School. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So you have family in District 200?
I do, but nobody that's in the current school district, and I actually don't have any kids in the school district. I'm single and don't have children, but I do oftentimes feel like I have 90 kids because I coach the Hastings area swim team, so I interact with kids daily from the ages of 5 all the way up to 18 through that job. Most of them live in the district.
Okay, great. What is your previous education?
So, like I said, I went to C's K through 8 and then the Hastings High School. I graduated 2010, and then I attended the University of Wisconsin Eau Claire, where I received a degree in public history and a minor in American studies and religion. Pardon me. With an emphasis in women and minorities. So I created my own topical minor, but all of it is centered around sort of the history fields, and then I utilize that for my current position here in town.
Mariah, what is your current profession?
I'm the site supervisor at the Leduc Historic Estate here in town. I've actually been in that position for 5.5 years and in this chair for that job, typically.
We've heard you on the air a number of times. You do a good job.
Thank you. Yeah, I typically am talking about the different events we have going on up at the estate. So I've been there for 5.5 years, and I also currently am one of the assistant coaches on the Hastings area swim team, which I've been doing for 7 years now, actually. So I work with kids daily, both at the Leduc. That's not so much daily, but I work with teachers to incorporate different things into their curriculum that we can help supplement, as well as through field trips. And we do that for second graders. The middle schoolers come for their summer school program, and then the high schoolers come for their design and housing class. We also have history kits that we let teachers borrow for that. But then I work with kids on the swim team too, which I mentioned a little earlier, as I do feel that I do have 90 children that I work with quite frequently. So those are the two jobs I currently hold in town.
Okay, so you do a lot of teaching.
I do. I really do, in lots of different ways. And I think what's interesting about both of those positions in which I teach is that there's always room for growth as well as development, but continuing education. And in swimming, you are creating skills that maybe are more for the sport, but we like to really try to foster on our team different skills that they can utilize in life too. So we encourage them to be kind to each other and to support one another, and also to foster a good work ethic by encouraging practices, but also sort of providing positive reinforcement for those who are trying really hard at practice, but also supporting those that maybe need a little bit more help in different skills so that they can perform better at meets and feel really like they're taking off in the sport.
State any and all experiences you feel are relevant to being qualified for the position you are running for.
Well, as someone who's running for the school board, I feel that I am a great listener and a problem solver. I look at any issue from all angles to try to figure out the best solution for each outcome. I like to see it from all angles and different sides so that you can really weigh what's at at the root and try to find out how to solve a problem. I am also really great at researching, and that comes from my history background. We have to do a lot of research in the history field to talk about new programs and get to the bottom of the history of it, and also figure out how you can incorporate different aspects of people's lives so that they find it interesting. I also work within a budget every year for the LADUC, so I'm really good at balancing how certain funds should be allocated, but also looking at, is this an area where there's a little wiggle room? Can we reallocate that towards something that maybe needs a little bit more support? So I work pretty consistently with a budget just at LADUC yearly. And I do have previous board experience too. I actually served on the AAUW State Board as their administrative assistant. So I participated in quite a few meetings, mostly watching them, making sure that they had everything they needed, but also getting to see that experience. And I serve on the Minnesota Alliance of Local History Museums Board. I'm a current member at large on that board. And I worked for the McPherson Scholarship, too, as their administrative assistant. So I had to, I actually worked more as their secretary at different times, too. So I took a lot of their meeting minutes for the scholarship program that they run.
Okay. You're listening to KDWA's Meet the Candidate show. Our guest today, Mariah Ring. This program has been paid for by the candidate or by their election or reelection committee and does not necessarily represent the views of KDWA, our staff, or our employees. Mariah, why are you running for this position?
That really is the big question right now, isn't it? So I'm really running for this position because I really, truly love this community, and I want to see it grow and flourish. I really feel that it is a place that is wonderful to live in, to have grown up in, to have gone to school in, and I want to continue to see that for our future generations. As a historian and a coach, my jobs are really rooted in education, and we did talk about that a little bit too, but it really is all about continuous learning and improvement. I really do educate the children about the past, and I feel that we make history every day. So we really should take today and use it as a groundwork that we set for a future that we can build on education, because education is really the groundwork. And we might as well make the history that we're living today, currently, that's what's so fascinating about it, something that we can be proud of in the future. So I really just believe in giving kids the best foundation for that future that we can.
Okay. What do you think the role of a school board member is?
So the school board really at its core is a governing body that oversees public education in a district. And school board members are supposed to work with their communities to improve student achievement in our local public schools. But we also are supposed to be complying with state and federal laws to establish policies and regulations for our district. our district schools to follow. They adopt and manage an annual budget, and we, as school board members, if I were to be elected, would oversee the implementation of a strategic plan that would really set educational goals for our students, as well as advocating for public education in our community. That's what a school board member should be doing.
Okay. As a historian and someone who works in the history field, how do you feel about the Ethnic Studies Bill passed as part of Minnesota's Omnibus Education Bill?
So Minnesota's Omnibus Education Bill is gigantic. First of all, it's 251 pages of different bills and mandates that are going to come out for education. And one of those is the Reading Act, which I think is going to be super beneficial to our students. But one of them that's sort of received some contentious response is this Ethnic Studies Bill. And what's interesting is that there are people on both sides of it. What I do find fascinating about this bill is that in the 1970s, Minnesota actually was the first state to mandate a multicultural and gender fair curricula. But the pushback for that bill actually ended those efforts in the 1990s. So now we're 50 years away from that, and we're pushing forward this bill again, and it actually got passed this time. The excitement and the contention that surround the bill really come from both sides. Some people feel that having an ethnic studies requirement in our schools actually will cause students to feel guilty and ashamed of their past and maybe of their country. It'll make them feel like we've done something wrong and that we can't be proud of where we are today. Others feel it provides an opportunity to learn from our past and not repeat the same mistakes. I personally am part of the latter group. I think that it is something that is important to educate our students on. and I often think that in the history field, a lot of what we hear when we hear about negative history, let's look at slavery, for example, is you hear a lot of, well, that wasn't my family, or we didn't own slaves, right? Or slavery has been abolished, and we have the Civil Rights Act. Can we move on now? But the thing is that those things still happened. So it's important not to be afraid of our history or afraid of talking about it, but actually expanding on it and figuring out these are the things that did happen. So how can we move forward? The thing that I love so much about history is that it isn't all sunshine and rainbows, right? You really can't have beauty without tragedy. And that goes well with life too, right? If you have negative things that happen, they help you to appreciate the positive things all the more. So if you really look at it, there are things that you can look at, like you can't celebrate the end of slavery without having had slavery in the first place, right? You can't celebrate the passage of suffrage without realizing that there was oppression and omission before that. And you really can't celebrate a victory if there wasn't a war, right? So you need these negative things to sort of be brought to light to actually enjoy what came out of it. And I think this bill is going to be something that's really important to actually making sure that those things get emphasized in our school system. I also think that it's about more than just our history, because it's about embracing the history of other cultures that are being represented within our students. It's not all just one base, right? It's not just the American culture, which typically is very white Eurocentric, but it's all about making sure that everybody who lives in this country can see their histories represented and feel actually represented within their classroom, and like they're learning about things that are relevant to them. And if you can learn about things that are relevant then to you, then you can internalize them and they become more meaningful, and then you can utilize those out in the future when you're moving forward throughout. I think that it's kind of interesting that in a state that can boast being one of the first two states in the North to support the passage of suffrage for African American men, that it's taken us this long to say, yes, we can actually support teaching ethnic and multicultural studies within our school curriculum.
You're listening to our Meet the Candidate program. Our guest, Mariah Ring, who is running for a position on the board for School District 200. Mariah, you just talked about Minnesota's omnibus education bill. Is there a cost that comes with it?
So directly for us at the school board level, there wouldn't necessarily be a cost associated because they're funding it currently. So there is a, with the bill comes a large budget in which they are paying for it initially and creating the curriculum, just like with the READ Act. So they're kind of saying, you have to teach these things, and here are the curriculum you get to choose from. So money will be dispersed as far as supporting that, just like with the other educational mandates that are being passed out with that bill.
Okay. Mariah, this is a big people talk about this all the time, but and it's no secret that Hastings is been experiencing declining enrollment for quite a while.
Right. It is something that has been being discussed for quite some time. And the most prominent number that we see is that there's a 20% lack, or 20% of, shall we say, our students that could be coming here are not enrolled. So that number, though, is something that hasn't changed over time. But what I think is difficult about declining enrollment is that a lot of it is not necessarily something that can be controlled by the school board itself or even necessarily by the district. The issue really comes in that there aren't enough places with affordable housing for people who are starting families and want to move to our district to move into and live in. If you want to be in a great district, but you can't afford the houses that are there, then you really have a detriment in that area, and you might have to go somewhere that does have affordable housing, and then you enroll your children in the district that's there. The other thing that comes into play is that those numbers of these students that aren't being enrolled in our district really have a lot to do with geography and where it's easier for perhaps the parents to take their children. They might work outside of the district, and it's easier for them to drop them off on their way to their jobs versus having them bust in and then having to worry about when they get home, are they going to be able to be there in time, whereas they could put them in an after-school program and then pick them up on their way home then too. So it's not necessarily something that can be 100% controlled within our district by our board members.
So is it a fair statement then to say that because we are so close to the Twin Cities that that is a detriment to enrollment for our school district? Because it's like you say, people can drop off at, and I'm just gonna say like Crete and St. Thomas or any of those, you know, schools. It's easier for them to do that than it would be in, say, a school district this size in outstate Minnesota, I'll call it.
Right. And, you know, I think that that is something that could really be looked at in a big way, Dan, is the fact that we are so close to the Twin Cities and there are these other educational opportunities that can be utilized by parents who do commute to the cities for work. I think it's hard because Crete and St. Thomas, of course, are private schools. So it's hard to say, don't send your kids there. Bring them to the public school because you want them to come here. We want them to support our district and to go to the public schools here. But there is that availability of being able to choose those schools instead of the Hastings Public Schools because you can open enroll more easily within them versus like if you were to open enroll in Cottage Grove. Well, if you're going to drop your kids off in the Cottage Grove public school system, why wouldn't you just keep them here in the Hastings public school system, right? So then it becomes an issue of, like, how do we get them to want to come to our public schools versus dropping them off at those private schools? And what can we offer? Or how can we make it more appealing to stay here instead of doing something that has to do with the geography of the location, too.
That is a tough issue that is very, very complicated.
It definitely is. It has a lot of layers. It's like the onion of school.
You keep peeling it back.
Yes.
Well, Mariah, I want to thank you for coming here. Any final thoughts before that you want to get in and tell the public?
Yeah. So first, I want to say thank you for having me to address that first. And then just to really encourage people to get out to vote. One of the things I'm really passionate about is voting and the fact that we have this availability to have our voices heard. So please do that on November 7th. And if you want to find out more information about me, you can find my Facebook page at Mariah Ring for ISD 200. You can also email me at MariahRingISD200@gmail.com.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mariah, and I wish you a lot of luck.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you so much.
This Meet the Candidate show with Mariah Ring has been paid for by the candidate and or by their election or reelection committee and does not necessarily represent the views of KDWA, our staff, or our employees. This is KDWA Radio in Hastings, AM 1460, FM 97.7, and around the world at kdwa.com.